But I just want to say welcome to the place where you're welcome. All right. We're living in some weird, strange times, but there are some things, everything's changing. For example, I'm probably not going to speak about the reading today. No, but thank you, though, for all that. I just, it's such a long one, too. We've got Stephen and Graham here, both with bronchiectasis, so we're just poor guys. You coughing must be feel like a modern-day leper nowadays, right? You know, wherever you guys are. Everyone, yeah. some things are not changing, right? Since 1964, the doors have remained open on this place. And here and now, more recently in Bondi Beach, where we're going to stay open. I was in a cafe yesterday, in the Heart Cafe, and I was talking to a childcare worker, and they were saying they have to shut down shortly when the government changes the advice, because everything's always changing day-to-day basis. Everything's changing, and they have to close their doors for the same reason we have to keep ours open, right? Because that is an expression. Every action we take is an expression of what we value. And so for her, that decision will be, we care for you young children, that you need to go back to your homes and to spend some time there so that this can pass by. Whereas for us, our expression of value is we say the doors remain open, because you can't isolate where you have no home. And so it's really important that we organise and take all our due care in this place so we can continue to keep those doors open. If the government's advice changes and we end up like Italy and there's a situation of martial law, we will still open our doors, okay? Because closing them is not an option. So we'll work all that out. Just track with us. I just wanted to read a bit of a statement out. I think it's important through these times, is to say we've been providing unconditional love and support to everyone who comes into this place since 64. We deliver essential services, but we show love and compassion to everyone who walks in. Our community is facing unprecedented challenges, including drought, bushfire, floods, and now the virus that are creating fear across our community. I've got to go on the radio tonight at 10 o'clock and they want to talk about all the anxiety, but I don't think we should call it for what it is, and that's fear, right? And it's creating selfishness, greed, and anxiety. You know, for one of the few times, I think we can finally understand when we read a psalm that says, you are a people whose hearts easily go astray. Yeah. And though my heart aches, you know no rest. You know, finally, you can get that understanding how quickly and fickle we are to go to the lowest common denominator of protecting ourselves. You won't save yourself if you're only trying to save your own ass. By the way, the virus doesn't even affect your ass, right? right? That's important to know, right? Yes, Colin.
Strange, it doesn't affect your ass when everyone's buying toilet paper.
That's right. That's right. No, if I own shares in a B-Day company, I tell you what, I'd be taking out advertising. Those French and Japanese toilets, right? Yeah, just the fun gun. That's the way to go. No, correct.
Yeah, that's totally feared by
yeah, look, health is social, right? So acting in antisocial ways, you're actually acting in ways that weaken the health. Our health is, we're only as healthy as the sickest person in our community, right? So how we act to protect our collective health is to protect the health of the most vulnerable in that space. So, we're placing others at risk. Love over hate is our motto, but I think I'm going to change it for the next few months to be love over fear, right? And because we know that perfect love casts out fear. We're not going to be silly. We're going to still be very careful. We know some people are incredibly immunosuppressed. We know there are brothers and sisters here who have HIV. So, I mean, in terms of immunity, they're very low. We are currently monitoring each of the websites. The biggest risk currently, today, is that those of us who come from the outside in are going to bring the biggest risk. So, you know, just out of care and respect, I'm going to be telling all the staff the same advice that everyone else has, which is if you're not feeling well, just let us know. Please try and just rest up wherever you can for a few days. And I'm going to say to the staff in the next few days, if you can work from home, work from home, right? We want to stay as healthy as we can so we can remain as open as we can. If we end up like Italy, like I said, if it takes civil disobedience, it'll take civil disobedience, right? That's what we're going to do. It's a bit of a no-brainer, right? So my poor old WH&S people are going mental, right? So, but I said, I didn't hire you here to make your life easy. Yes, Colin.
I think in Australia, we're spread out a lot further than people like Italy. It's all very, like New York. So we have got a natural advantage in
That's right. Look, the challenges we're facing aren't new. I've spoken about it before, but if you look at, there's a sociologist called Rodney Stark who wrote a book called The Rise of Christianity, and he wasn't someone who would call himself Christian, which means his books would fit right in at Wayside. He just said, oh, look, how did this bunch of a couple of hundred people suddenly become a couple of million in a few short years and beyond just 313 when it became the religion of empire? But he looked at a few things, and one of the issues he looked at was generally in the towns through the Middle East, whenever a virus would strike, so we're not going through any new times, is most people would do what everyone does, which is protect themselves. And how you protected yourself in those days are these great kind of walled cities. You know, if you think about anything biblical, there's a city in the middle of nowhere and it's surrounded by walls. Most people would get out and flee to the mountains. If you could get out, you got out. And they would kind of wait in the mountains and just watch and wait for everyone to die. And then they would hire some people to come in, pile up the bodies, set them on fire and kind of move back in. That's how they used to roll. I don't think we've become any more civilized, really. And but what they saw were these early movements of gatherings of people that were gathering around trying to follow in the footsteps of this guy called Jesus, was that they were going into the towns after everyone had left, and they were caring for those who were unwell. They were caring for the sick. And some of them who went in would catch whatever that was going around, and others didn't. Others who were left and abandoned in those towns weren't actually sick, and they would come back to health. And they so slowly, gradually, this movement began to grow and grow because they looked at what everyone else was doing and did the opposite. Not for the sake of doing the opposite, but they cared for those who everyone abandoned. That was the example they took. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus takes a whole bunch of his followers down to Caesarea Philippi, and where he then, which would have been the longest road trip those guys ever made, it's about 12 or 13 kilometres away from the centres where they would have been. They would have been right out on the edge of their experience. They would have been right out on the edge of their fear. And right in that town was a well and a cistern that flowed out, and water would flow out, and it was a dark cave that the water came out of. And that was where they had the temple to the god called Pan, right? Pan is that half goat, half man type of setup. From that we get the words panic. From there we get the words pandemic. And the kind of the god of death and chaos was there. And so how they used to satisfy this god was they would sacrifice, or they had these kind of religious festivals that were orgies in which the youngest were exploited through those times. And it was in that place that that Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say I am? And they said, you're the Son of Man. That was one of the few times Peter got it right. And that could mean a few things in the Bible, but there is one way of thinking about it which says, you're the vulnerable one. And then he says, yeah, you finally got it right. And he says, this is the place where I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, it was in that place where people were struggling, in that place where people were being exploited. And in our times, you know, who's going to miss out the most through this time? And that's where Jesus says, that's the place I'm going to build a community. That's the place where I'm going to be present. I haven't offered you too many words. That's all I wanted to share today. They're saying, all I offer you is presence through this time. That's all we can offer each other through this time.